Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the First World Manila podcast. First World Manila is an aspirational brand that also promotes civic responsibility by getting Manileños and Filipinos interested in long-term economic planning and urban development and cultural revitalization for Manila and the Philippines. So, welcome. Today's episode is. Well, before I get to today's episode, I would just like to wish everyone a maligayang araw ng kalayaan, or Feliz Dia de la Independencia. Excuse me. Happy Independence Day. Even though I'm recording this on, what's it, Saturday evening, this video goes out on Tuesday, so that's Independence Day this year for the Philippines. So, yeah. And that's actually kind of related to what I'm talking about today. Today, I would like to talk about a different kind of independence. Independence from laziness, selfishness, and obnoxiousness. So, as you might have read on today's episode title, we'll be talking about rich Pinoys. Lazy, selfish, and obnoxious. Are they or are they not? Well, let's dig into this. And this is an important thing because. If you've been following my podcast for the past few episodes, it's sort of like one reason why we can't execute is because there's no sort of sense of strong sense of national identity or ownership or responsibility overall. And for me, that kind of flows from the top down. It starts from the, rich or educated class and flows down to the rest of the country and the rest of society. So this is an important subject. I think about like how we always talk about infrastructure, but there's delay after delay. So, which isn't to say good things haven't happened. I mean, the recent launch of the National Museum of Natural History is a good thing. And that was actually a long term, like a long that was planned over several years and executed over several years. And we sort of, did something good for society. I mean, it's a civic project and. Obviously, both respecting our heritage, but also modernizing it and making it accessible to most people. So, but other than that, like it's we have to have more of that. So less of a apathy or bahala na attitude. That some might say is ingrained in our culture, but again, culture can change. So let's dive into this and how we can start changing attitudes. Or first of all, maybe looking at the problem first. Looking at the symptoms and kind of describing the problem and seeing how we can fix it starting from the top down. And this is sort of what, and this is what this episode is about. Okay, how do we defeat laziness, for example, or katamaran, or la pereza, in Espanol, in our culture? Okay. See, I'm just going over my notes now. The reason why I really advocate about change starting from the top is that the minority of people here in this city and country, they have the financial capital and the cultural capital to really change things. And obviously the human capital too in terms of education. So that's sort of where we have to start because these people, their decisions, their actions, whether it's in government or big business or media, they have an outsized impact on Manila and Philippine society. Okay, and of course, I'm not saying everyone is like, lazy or selfish or obnoxious, but sometimes that's a stereotype, and maybe there's a kernel of truth in that. Okay, so which leads me to this picture here in this background, in the background here. And for those of you who are listening on audio, I'm showing a picture. This is from a book from the 1970s. I think, what's it called? Our Heritage or Turn of the Century or something like that. And it's just about the Philippines at the turn of the 19th, 20th century. And this is a painting. And based on what it says in the painting, it says Girl on Hammock, circa 1900. So there is this rich Pinay. Just lying on a hammock and being fanned by obviously her servant, and you can tell. I mean, look at her. Look at how she looks. She's sort of a mestiza looking, and I when I say mestiza, I mean the proper use of the term, meaning Filipino mixed race or mixed descent, any race. But she's there and she's kind of, smirking at the camera, excuse me, at the painter, while her helper, her indigenous, who's clearly an indigenous looking helper, is fanning her. And it's just, if you look at that, like this kind of languid, glazed, but kind of smug look on her face, you can kind of take that look, in my opinion, that is, and kind of like and transfer that look and that attitude into today's, like, society pages or something like that. It's funny because I'm not sure when this painting was painted. It doesn't say, but it says circa 1900. So things haven't changed in 118 years, really. There's a caption at the bottom of this page. It says the Filipinos were forever accused of sloth. So, but I wonder which Filipinos? Maybe the rich, the poor, or both? Accused of sloth. So, and even then, it's a little bit of an obnoxious looking painting. Look, I mean, she's like, look at me. It's kind of the vibe I get from it. That look at me, I'm so rich. So, going back to the title of this episode, Are Rich Pinoys Lazy, Selfish, and Obnoxious? So how do we fix that? By the way, my problem isn't about, prestige. There's always going to be that sort of like society thing going on, which is fine, but I would like it to be based more on merits and contribution to society rather than just by birth, for example. I wonder too, if the rich back then, if it's sort of like, because they're the de facto leaders of society, and people always look up to the people of higher status, that they set the attitude and behavior of everyone else. So if you change attitudes on the top, then maybe the bottom will change, and the middle and the bottom will change also. Lead by example. And it's sad too, because if you really look at our history, people from the educated class, the ilustrados, they're very accomplished. So Rizal, obviously, Del Pilar, the Luna brothers, it could go on and on. Even those who aren't technically ilustrado but educated, like Mabini or Bonifacio, they're accomplished people, and they weren't at all, by all means, lazy. So what happened? I wonder if it's, and I'm not, I can't, this is just my opinion, and I can't verify any of this. I wonder if those examples, the people we look to in hindsight, when we look at our history, those accomplished ilustrados, I wonder if they were the exception, not the rule. And I remember, I mean, Rizal is widely seen as a reformist and not like a pro, like Philippine independence person from Spain. If he did want independence, it was definitely a gradualist approach. And I wonder if it's because he was thinking that the Filipinos cannot govern themselves. I mean, look where we are now. So maybe if that's what he was thinking, maybe there's some truth to that. And maybe it's for this reason, because he wrote a lot. He wrote a lot about Philippine society, so I'm going to be talking about it in a second. Okay, let me see. Okay, so I do want to bring up this painting of this slothful or obnoxious or lazy looking Pinay, rich Pinay, and her servant who's fanning her. The immediate thing I thought about, that popped into my mind when I saw this painting, was an article by Rizal, written in Spanish, called, let's see, it is called "Sobra la Indolencia de los Filipinos," about on the indolence of the Filipinos. It's a long essay actually. I think it was printed in La Solidaridad, so it was printed in Spain, in the sort of the pro reform Philippine newspaper in Spain. And it's quite long, but I do recommend you read it because it's very relevant to what's happening today. But kailangan yung basahin in Espanol, Okay? Because you don't understand, you don't get, you don't understand, parang hindi niyo maramdaman ang state of mind, ang isipan ng ni Rizal if you don't read it in Spanish. Okay. But I do want to read some passages that really struck me. And it's funny because in this essay, Rizal was talking about, he refers to Filipinos, but also refers to like the uneducated people as Indios specifically, and why they are not, why they're regarded as lazy or they're seen as lazy. But it's funny because he never mentions the mestizo class that he belongs to here. So I wonder what he thought about those people, because again, those are the people who are now in charge after the after we became independent from Spain and the US. So, okay. Some interesting points about this essay is that he R Rizal talks about how it's the one reason is because we're a tropical country, it's easy to get that sort of lazy, laid back mentality. I mean, you think about it. I mean, basically, what he's saying is that the gist of the essay is that laziness isn't inherent; it's a factor of so many things, and people can change if you give them the right incentive and education. All right, so I'm going to read a few passages in Spanish and then talk about it, just talk about it in English, or translate in English and talk about it and relate it to some things that have been carried through to today. Okay, so here he's in this passage he's talking about in the following passage he's talking about the effect of weather on people's on people's attitudes or their actions. Okay, so here we go. El clima cálido exige del individuo la quietud y el descanso, así como el frío le excita al trabajo y a la acción. So what he's saying here is that the hot climate develops within a person sort of a state of rest and relaxation, whereas a cold climate makes people it basically influences people to work into action. Okay, let's continue. Por esto el español es más indolente que el francés más que el alemán. So here, and therefore, the Spanish person is more indolent. Well, I don't want to use the word lazy. More indolent than the Frenchman. The Frenchman is more indolent than the German. Okay, here we go. Los mismos europeos que tanto acusan de indolencia a los hombres de las colonias, there's those same Europeans who accuse of indolence the people of their colonies. Y no hablo ya de los españoles, sino de los mismos alemanes e ingleses. So, and here I'm not speaking about the Spanish, but those same English and German. I wonder why he said that. I wonder what the context of that phrase is, right? So, ¿cómo viven en los países tropicales? So he's saying those same Europeans who accuse of indolence people in the colonies, and I'm not speaking of the Spanish, but those same German and English, how do they live in tropical countries? Okay. Rodeados de una numerosa servidumbre. Rodeados de una numerosa servidumbre, no andando jamás a pie, sino en el coche. So they're surrounded by numerous servants. They don't really walk. Never they never walk by foot, but by car or carriage. There were no car. I don't think there were any cars around really in the Philippines during Rizal's time.
Necesitando de sus criados no solo para quitarse las botas, sino aún para abaquinarse.
So, needing they need servants not just to remove their boots but also to fan them. So he's just pointing out the hypocrisy that maybe Europeans who accuse Filipinos of being lazy are also lazy themselves when they reach the tropics. So, this got me thinking like what is a colonial mentality? Because it's funny that his criticism of Europeans, or how they behave in the tropics, is basically how the rich behave here. Like, instead of maybe a carriage, and fanning. They'll keep the aircon on and just hang out in a car. They won't walk. And I have life experience observing this. So just early this week, I saw someone walking out of a gym. Like, she's obviously a well-off individual, and all of a sudden, I guess her helper, her maid, like ran up to her and like ran up behind her and like put an umbrella over her because it was hot. It just obviously I'm not against the hired help, but like it's a little bit extreme. An even more extreme example. So, over like 10 years ago, I used to work at a private bank in Manila, here in Manila, and we would work. The office was in Tower One, and we would have events or meetings in Shangri-La. And I remember this. It was so funny because like, whenever we would have an event, a lot of the staff there who were pretty well off, they would literally have a driver in a car, take them, drive them all around Ayala Triangle, through all the traffic, just to go to Shangri-La, which is literally like across, like what, not like a block, 2 blocks away. And it would obviously take them much longer than just walking, but it's just kind of, it's so ingrained in us. So I wonder, and I remember that the foreign, like some of our non-Filipino workers who would, or colleagues who would visit, would just kind of like, laugh. It was so funny that it was just a walk away. And these people were based in Singapore, so it's also hot there. So it's funny that, like, they just pointed out how, some of them just pointed out how silly that is, that one would take a car. Walk, just go the long way, add to traffic, and go through traffic, just to reach something that was easily accessible by walking. So, what is colonial mentality? For me, it's not about speaking English or Spanish. And if you know me, I honestly think that those are two perfectly good examples of two of our national languages. It's not about that. It's just a mentality that like that's like don or doña mentality. It's ridiculous that we obviously inherited, I think, from our colonizers, whether it be Spanish or American. So, and I think I to Rizal's credit, I do think he has a point about the tropics and the heat. I mean, you go to a tropical country to relax and descansar, as he says. And I remember. I don't know if this is true, but I remember reading somewhere that in the case of Singapore, which is so successful and is in the same region that we're in, I think Lee Kuan Yew said something about air conditioning being so important because people work harder when it's colder. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure if that's hearsay, if he actually said that, but I wouldn't be surprised. Anyways, I wanted to. Let's see. I wanted to read one more passage a little bit towards the end of his essay, Rizal's essay. And you can tell he gets pretty worked up towards the end. He's getting pretty angry because towards the end of the essay, he talks about how Filipinos, a lot of them are not, the only way to change this kind of attitude is education. And I think when he, and my interpretation of reading his essay is that education is not just, it's not just simple like arithmetic, but it's about being able to aspire to more. In fact, I think he says that at one point, but not in the passage that I copied here. But it's learning to aspire to better yourself. So, ay, toda la desgracia de los Filipinos actuales consiste en que se han quedado brutos a medias. So, all the, I guess, disgrace. Discuss here the problems of the Filipino, the basically the problems of the Filipinos are due to the fact that they remain halfway educated. El Filipino está convencido de que para ser feliz es necesario abdicar de su dignidad de ser que piensa. So the Filipino is convinced that in order to be happy, it's necessary to abdicate the dignity of being a human being that thinks, or so what else? Oír a misa, so listen to mass, confesarse, go to confession, obedecer cuanto le mande el cura, so just listen when someone gives you, I guess, el cura. I'm not sure. I mean, literally, that's a cure, but I'm not sure if there's another meaning for that. second meaning for that. Creer cuanto le digo. So believe whatever you tell the whatever you tell him or her. Pagar cuanto le exija. So pay whenever you require him to. Pagar y siempre pagar. So pay and always just pay more. Trabajar, sufrir y callarse. So work, suffer and be quiet. Sin aspirar a nada. Don't aspire to anything. Sin aspirar a saber. Don't aspire to think. So sin aspirar a saber, a comprender ni siquiera el castellano. So not even to aspire to understand Spanish. Sin separarse de su calabao, don't separate himself from the carabao. Como impunemente dicen los religiosos, sin protestar contra una injusticia, don't protest against an injustice. Literally, that's what he's saying. And he goes on and on and on for several lines. Like, he's just kind of letting it all out. So again, it's sort of the education, but it's interesting because it's not just like book learning. It's like learning to aspire to more. And it's funny because he's generally talking about like the poor Filipinos, but it's funny because I think it's the same with the rich Filipinos also. Like, so I did a few podcasts ago. I did one episode on no more smart shaming, and it's the same thing. I told like rich people here that they just it's not okay to aspire to more. How did this happen to us? We had so many accomplished ilustrados, but then now look, we don't aspire to more. Even when we aspire to, I mean, you can tell our hearts as a nation in general, and of course there are individuals who are trying to make a difference. But in general, we don't aspire to more. And, you know, even with PPP, like, or what is it, build now, it's not, you know, I mean, there are delays. The right of way is still a problem. And I actually read a good article about how the government, the bureaucracy is just not equipped to deal with right of way. So then the question is, why aren't we equipped to do that? But no one seems to be talking about that. But, like, why? These problems are identifiable. Why don't we fix it? What is it about us that we can't even... It's just the easy things that we want to do, like not the hard things. The hard things we don't want to do. So we're being tenemos indolencia. Tamad tayo. We're being lazy in that sense, and we're just kind of like just going for like the easy things, not really addressing the bigger problems. I mean, even look, I was just thinking the other day that we did the hard work of building up, of extending the Skyway. So from Alabang or the south, you can go directly to the casinos, but you can't make it, you can't go to Intramuros. So like what, just because there's no immediate ROI in that, return on investment, I mean, it's in service for the public good, which actually is actually a long-term investment, good investment for businesses, by the way. But thinking long-term, and doing the hard stuff, that's what we're lazy from. You know, we'd rather sit on our hammocks over here like this Donia over here, and just let people fan us, let our servants fan us. So look, and you wonder why, despite our beautiful culture, why a lot of international, like how we're viewed by the international community, by a lot of people, that we're just like, you know, servants or maids or, you know. Look, I mean, we can criticize the poor all we want, but at the end, change has to come, and the people in the top have to set an example. Okay, which is sad because we already have examples already in Rizal and all those people. And it's funny too, I just, in that sense, maybe this is the ultimate, again, I just want to emphasize, maybe this is the ultimate level, form of colonial mentality. It's not imitating sort of the foreign or colonizers' outward codes of luxury or success, you know, dressing well or being able to speak English or Spanish. It's adopting their pro-poor attitude. You know what I mean? Gets niño? ¿Entendéis? It's really that. For me, that's the ultimate form of colonial mentality. And so in that sense, maybe it is colonial mentality among the rich and middle class and the poor that's hampering us. Before I end, I just want to say that Rizal did also mention that in this essay, it's funny because he did mention how the Chinese were so industrious, and look who's, I would look, I mean, a lot of the rich families now are Chinese. So it's so funny what happened. So what is a key to our independence from laziness, obnoxiousness, and what was the third one? Yes, selfishness. I also wanted to just talk about selfishness, because I would say the richer Filipinos didn't even share their culture with the middle class or poor, and that's got to change also. So what is a cure for laziness, selfishness, and obnoxiousness among the elite, among the rich and the educated, and by extension to the middle class and the poor? It has to be, as Rizal said, education, but not just pure book learning. I know coding is in now, but I mean, that's one thing, but also to aspire to more, and to love culture and your country, the value of work, and sharing your culture and educating others, leading by example. For me, that's the kind of education. You can put up all the coding boot camps here. Whether that industry is relevant or not in the next 5 years is up to debate. But there, you know, industries come and go. Right now it's tech. Who knows, maybe it's going to be finance or real estate next time. Actually, it's kind of real estate now. But anyways, but something has to, regardless of what the trends are, a sense of duty and civic responsibility and a love for our beautiful, you know, jeepney or mestizo culture, which the Philippines has as a national culture, should be inculcated and instilled among the populace, rich, middle class, and poor alike. Okay. Before I end, again, happy Independence Day. Maligayang araw ng kalayaan. Feliz Dia de la Independencia. Okay. Today's Spanish Tagalog vocab. Nosotras, tayo, for babae. So nosotros is for, which I talked about a few episodes ago, is tayo for like either your mixed gender or your lalaki, or nosotras is for para sa mga babae. So kung puro babae ang grupo mo, it's nosotras. Okay. And that is it for today's podcast. If you like this podcast and you want to hear more, please do subscribe. Freshwood Manila is also on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. The links are in the description. And I will see you next week. Bye. If I can turn this off. Okay, here you go.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.